This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Lady Lovin'.
Welcome.
Welcome.
This is Lo.
You are now in the Twilight Zone.
You are now in the Lady Lovin' Zone.
Yes.
The LLZ.
The LLZ.
Yes,
and we're coming up with really cool stuff.
Right
we're
at the
only
end.
Having two episodes left.
I know.
But it's just.
Say hello to Lightbox, a new brand of laboratory-grown diamond jewelry. Never heard of lab-grown diamonds? Join the club. Here's what you need to know. They have the same chemical makeup as natural diamonds, but are made in a lab by scientists. It's a pretty amazing process. By using a plasma reactor nearly as hot as the surface of the sun, a piece of diamond is bombarded with carbon atoms and grows. After 400 to 500 hours, it's big enough to cut into a polished stone. Pretty cool if you consider diamonds from the earth took about 3 billion years to reach the surface. While natural diamonds are rare, Lightbox can make a lot of lab-grown ones, meaning you don't have to be a millionaire to afford one. Lightbox's lab-grown diamonds are just $200 a quarter carat plus the cost of the setting. Their scientists have even figured out how to make pink and blue ones. Pink and blue natural diamonds are so rare you've probably never seen one before, but now you can own a lab-grown one or several. Check them out at lightboxjewelry.com/lovin. You guys know that me and Jilly and Lo all have big boobs. That's true. We do all have big boobs, and we all like to wear bras, and we like to wear bras that fit us, which is why Third Love is here for us. If you guys don't know about Third Love, it is all about the perfect fit. They use millions of real women's measurements. Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and an incredible feel. They have also more sizes than most other brands. It's amazing. Third Love is the industry leader with 70 sizes, including its signature half cup sizes, which I love because I'm always between a C and a D.
I'm like a D.5.
I know. And it's so amazing that they do that because then you're not like frustrated and thinking. Sometimes when I try on bras, it like gives me really low self-esteem for some reason. So
I know.
What I also love about it is that you get to try it on at home. That's my favorite thing. No more awkward fitting room experiences. No more looking at yourself in bad lighting and being like, what's wrong with me? You get to try it all on at home. And the way that you know you're finding a good bra is because what do we love? A quiz. Jilly, how easy is the quiz?
The quiz is so easy. It took me no time to fill out, and it was like very helpful into figuring out like what the right size is
yeah,
for
and
me.
It's about breast shape, which yeah. is so interesting, I think, too.
So just so you know, don't feel alone. 50% of women fall in between standard cup sizes. So Third Love's half cup sizing, which we talked about just a second ago, is really what's up. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/lovin now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/lovin for 15% off today.
Just a break. We'll be back.
People are leaving us really sus comments on our Lady Lovin' Instagram.
Sus like what?
Like girls are like, hiatus, LOL, you're ghosting us. And I was like, whoa.
I keep getting thumbs down on Twitter.
I know. A lot of people are very upset.
I'm upset.
A lot of DMs.
I did get a DM that was like, you guys are quitting at exactly the wrong time. I'm breaking up with my boyfriend and I need your help.
I mean, I've gotten a lot of messages from people that are like, thank you so much for doing your podcast for like the 3+ years. Like you changed my life. You've gotten me through so many hard times. Like I got a really sweet message. Really sweet messages.
Well, we have been doing it for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So we've put in so many hours. Just think of the collective hours we've put in into the show. It's been so fun. Days and years.
Well, this episode is the Jilly episode.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Our girl, Jilly Hendricks. Jilly, do you want to tell us what your full real name is?
Yeah, no. Do you want to tell people what your full real name is?
I don't, actually.
Why not?
Because I love a mystery, guys.
All right.
There's little I don't tell the world, so why don't I just keep it that?
There's a lot you don't tell the world.
I feel like I'm pretty open.
You've become more open over the course of
Lady
Lovin.
I had become Orthodox.
Can we talk about?
I'm no longer Orthodox. Jilly, now I'm just like I don't really like to use whatever. Maybe I'm conservative. I don't really want to label myself.
Jilly, could you just quickly walk us through the evolutions of you?
I was going to say, I think that Jilly has
over the past like 3.5 years.
I think Jilly has actually like.
Do you want my whole career?
Evolved. Jilly's. Evolved so probably like the most in some ways of the three of us over the past 3.5 years.
Well, you know, I have a lot of interests in my life.
I know.
It's not my fault. I'm good at a lot of stuff, guys.
No, that's not what we mean.
We're not talking about that. I'm just saying you've gone through like
phases,
so many things.
Yeah.
I feel like you've worn a lot of different hats and had a number of different identities. But, you know, to me, that's you chasing the stuff that you love.
But also to me,
that's like something to celebrate.
Yes. And to me, that is ultimately Jilly's identity.
Yeah.
I like trying things.
Which a lot of people don't like. And not trying things leads you to have not as full of a life.
I also feel like a lot of the things that I've done have only added to me. It's not like I've become a different person. And I'm no longer that person. I'm still the same me. I just like to do, you know, a bunch of variety of things that just add to my life.
Which is why it's ultimately your personality.
Yeah.
So can you walk us through your identities?
Yeah.
My identities. Well,
let's see. When we started.
When we started.
When you started or my whole life?
We started in August of 2015.
2015. I was still DJing.
Uh-huh.
But I was also writing.
Yes.
The thing with DJing and writing for me is they were kind of, I felt like, I had to separate them. Mm-hmm. Like when getting DJ gigs, it was very much like be the cool girl with style at the event and get your photo taken and DJ, you know, pop songs. And then with writing and comedy, which I love, that was more just like I could be self-deprecating and weird. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like it was, you know, interesting to post like a notes to my selfie on my Instagram, but then a photo of me DJing. And I could never really marry the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've always had difficulty with is marrying all of my interests because I feel like they are pretty different. Mm-hmm. Like there's not really a lot of people that are DJs and are maybe as funny as I am. Mm-hmm. Except John Mayer is pretty funny as a musician. I'll give him
that. John Mayer is pretty funny.
I'll give him that. His Instagram is great. But that was always something that I struggled with. And so I felt like I was like in the middle. And I felt like a lot of the world didn't know where to place me. Or like the, you know, or I don't know.
Like people, like people didn't know what to do with you in like the entertainment world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or like, what do you do? Do you DJ? Do you write? Do you like, it was just hard. And I always feel like instead of just doing stuff, I kind of let that clog a lot of that. So that's something that looking back, I would do differently. But yeah, I guess I was writing and I was DJing a lot more. And then I was on that TV show, I Love mm-hmm, Dick, mm-hmm. which was pretty fun in Marfa.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cool experience.
You got to like be in Marfa for a while.
Yeah, I was in Marfa and it was very cool to film a TV show with like Kevin Bacon and Catherine Hahn and Jill Soloway mm-hmm. wrote and directed it and tons of powerful women.
And
Phoebe Robinson, who was on the podcast. Amazing cast and talented people. That was really cool. And then from there, I kind of realized that maybe I don't want to act
mm-hmm.
after that TV show. Mm-hmm. I like just being me.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking engagements and writing and mm-hmm. Personality stuff, podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped DJing as much and was working a bit with Fuck Jerry, which was, I guess, in the media world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm telling you my career phases, not so much my personal.
We'll get to your personal phases after.
So while I was working with Fuck Jerry was very
there's
fun.
There's a lot of Judaism as the through line through this.
But we'll get to personal life after career.
And then that was really cool. I really liked that because I was creating a lot of content for my channels, which were like around 100,000 followers, but to create content for like the masses and to think about marketing plans that scale like that versus, you know, smaller ones was pretty interesting to me and kind of, they gave me a lot of freedom and I had a high role. So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to definitely quit DJing because I was like, I can't focus on so many things.
So DJing is like taxing.
It is. When I first moved to New York, I was a full-time DJ. Would DJ at the Box till like 4 a.m. on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And it was very lonely. I've never loved performing live, though. I've always liked creating content and putting it out there, or like recording this podcast with you guys, and then other people can listen to it. Like, I don't care who sees it or who hears it, but the live aspect of thing has always been a bit challenging for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I never liked that with DJing because everyone was always like looking at me, or I thought they were looking at me. I couldn't get in the moment, or I'd be like, what if the song was wrong? Or like,
DJing is such a touchy thing.
It is. Like, I remember I'd always get asked to DJ weddings, and I was like, yo, I'm not going to be responsible for the best day of your life. Like,
yeah,
I'm not. It's too much pressure. So I didn't love that about it. And then it just, it wasn't very fulfilling. So I stopped doing that. And then this summer, wanted to focus more on writing the new podcast, As Seen Online, but met, well, I had known this guy, Justin, for a while. We decided to go into business, and now we're building a live video shopping app. Essentially a social retail app. So you press a button, go live and sell your product. Links with Shopify. You can purchase the product directly through the app. Very excited about that.
What
I feel
is it
like
called?
It's called YZ.
You can follow YZ on Instagram.
Yeah, you can follow YZ on Instagram at YZ Founders. Super excited about it.
And you guys focus on like entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so we're a platform to empower entrepreneurs.
So for all of our entrepreneurs listening out there, Jillie has created a platform for you to sell your stuff.
Yep. So follow YZ Founders. Shoot me an email too. I can give you more information. Would love to get you involved in the community.
Yeah.
So super excited about that. And so that's kind of taken a bit of a turn. And now that I'm building this business, I've sort of let go of everything but this business, which I'm really excited about.
Good.
Yeah. So This is the first time you've spoken about YZ on the show.
Yeah, because you've been whenever you've heard Jillie speak of how intensely she's been working the past few months, it's been on this.
Yeah. Building this business.
I think it's really fun.
Jillie, you are a woman of mystery. You kept that a mystery for a really long time.
I did. Yeah, I did keep that. But it'll be launching next year.
I want listeners to know, like, we knew what was going on.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
Well, that's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. It's definitely
you're gonna be
different,
a tech mogul.
It's definitely a different, you know, than what I was doing before. But it does embody a lot of the past skills that I have, you know, working, creating content, understanding the social world.
So this is kind of merging all of your interests kind of in one.
Definitely.
Because it's like using social media.
For sure.
It's using marketing, digital marketing. It's using like partnerships. It's using a community of people.
Yeah.
You know,
all your expertise in one funnel.
Yeah. I'm very excited about it.
I love it. I can't wait for it to launch.
Maybe.
Maybe you'll come up with a product.
Follow YZ at YZ Founders, and we'll be posting tons of info on there. And just shoot me an email if you want more, and I'll respond.
I love that.
Okay, now we've covered your work life.
That's my work life.
Spiritual identity.
The spiritual,
my personal
life. The romantic
life.
And spiritual identity. Because all three of us have also gone through breakups on the show.
Yeah, gnarly ones.
Yeah, not great ones.
Those like late in life breakups that changed like just the direction of your life.
What was I like when I first, when we first started, what was my romance like? I don't know.
I think
for
had,
me,
like,
I've always been trying
then.
To, yeah, probably. I've always been trying to figure out what the fuck my type is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like I have no idea what type of guy I'm looking for.
You know,
I
mean,
no type is a type.
Yeah. But I think that's like, I have extreme types, it seems.
Yeah, like you like extreme people.
I do like extreme people. I like really passionate people. I like extreme people, and I like people that have like one specific thing, I guess, that they're really, really passionate about or that drives them. Like I'm very attracted to that. So if you work really, really hard, like I'm interested.
Or not even if you work really, really hard, because you like guys that are just like really passionate about like things. Because I think the one guy that you really fell for.
The religious man?
Yes.
He
was like very passionate
about.
But
he worked very hard in religion.
That's what I'm saying. Like the passion is like in religion.
Yeah, but he still worked.
No, totally. But I think that you would like, if you met a guy, I think if you met a guy that like, you know, had a good job, mm-hmm. like liked his job, was happy about his job, but was really passionate about becoming a, you know, like making ceramics, I think you would still think it was really hot that he was really passionate about his ceramics.
For yeah, sure.
I love passion.
You know? So you I know? Don't think it's specific to job and money. I think
no,
you
it's
just
not specific
like
to money. I just
person.
Like a drive. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Somebody the religious that, like, knows.
Oh my God. If anybody knows a passionate
when did
potter.
Did I ever meet the religious man while this podcast was happening?
Yes,
I think
you
so.
Did. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think you of course you did.
Yeah, because
you met him like a year and a half into it, or yeah. a year into it.
Yeah.
Because you've had this, you know, like spiritual like
awakening
in your life that has definitely happened during the course of the show, for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, we also we didn't mention the fact in your work,
yeah.
you were also working for your sister for a little bit.
That was before when I first moved to New York.
Weren't you doing that when we started the show?
No.
Oh, I'm just getting tired.
I was working for my sister's company, Carrots and Cake.
Yeah.
She was on
the pod.
The pod.
Wait, you did meet that man, though, about a year into our show.
Yeah. I guess I don't know what I was doing. I think I was hanging around this guy that was not respecting me, not treating me right. One of those late night situations.
Who was that?
Some guy, I'll tell you. Not on air. But that was the situation I had for about a year, which I feel like we've all probably been through mm-hmm. in our early 20s. But then I met this religious man, and he pretty much changed my life, I would say, for the better. Even though it was very right. hard, and I don't agree with a lot of what went down or how the situation was handled right. or certain beliefs. But I do think that he introduced me more to God, and in a way I feel like that helped me connect more with myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
I think that's really nice.
I grew up Jewish, but I grew up very reformed, and I didn't grow up in a community with like any Jewish people really, so I never really had a strong connection to the religion, and I was always interested in learning more. So that relationship taught me a lot about Judaism and kind of how certain values that are really important to me and that because they're important to me, I should make them active in my life. So I did try being Orthodox.
Right.
For a year. Mm-hmm. For a year, I would say. And then I ate kosher for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then now I just love Judaism, but I...
But that's fine. You
I'm just me. You know what I mean?
I think yeah. religion is such a personal thing. You need to just like tailor it for yourself.
I also like
yeah, you
it
adapt what you want to adapt into your life.
You can jump in further or you can jump out. You know what I mean? Like yeah. it's never like you have to say this is the one thing I'm doing for the rest of my life.
100%.
And it's also something that you do by yourself and you make that decision by yourself. And I think that's really there's not a lot of things that you do like that for yourself. I feel like a lot of times people are telling you to try this or to do this, but you actively have to make the decision to go to temple or to, you know, go to church or to, you know, learn more about your background. And I think that that's something that I liked about it. It was very meditative. Like I used to, when I first started going to temple and I did that every Saturday for a year, it was very meditative. I would go by myself and I would just had time to like think, and it was very like structured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like build a completely different community.
Yeah.
Outside of like your day-to-day community.
Definitely.
It's really nice, I think, to like be in a completely other world than is your day-to-day world, and like to be around people that just make you think differently than you do in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like you describing it sort of as like this like quiet thing that you just do for yourself.
Yeah.
Because that feels so fulfilling and like genuine.
Yeah, I was going to say it feels very genuine.
Yeah. And I really like that you have developed that for yourself. Like I wish I had something like that.
I know. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I was pretty depressed mm-hmm. and anxious and trying to just figure out different. You know, I've kind of always gone to therapy, and it was nice to, I remember I was starting to speak to a rabbi, and I really liked that relationship. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I just, there's some great things that I've kept from it that I like.
Yeah.
But now I've balanced out of it and am not observing as much as I was, but still love it.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Best. So I had that man situation, and then I dated another guy. I would say that one thing that I did that in the past few years was take more chances in dating with men, and that's always also was something that I struggled with when I was younger. So,
I mean, that's a constant struggle for everyone, I think, regardless of age, because I think it's just like the act to continuously be vulnerable.
Yeah. I was very shy when I was younger, too. And I was like nervous around every guy that was interested in me. And so I kind of let go a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I dated that other guy last summer who was nice. And then I had a...
Wait, that... Oh, the other... Oh, Greta's that like guy.
Forgets every guy I've
no,
dated.
No, I don't. I don't. I just am biting my tongue to not say too much.
And then I had a lovely relationship.
I didn't like that guy.
Yeah, no one did.
That guy was bad news. That guy, if you're listening and you know who you are, I don't like you.
He doesn't listen to
me. I mean, I know he doesn't listen, but that guy was shitty.
The most recent one?
Nope, the one before.
And then I dated a guy... And had a relationship, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot I'd do different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That's and now? My men story.
And now?
I'm looking forward to 2019.
What do you want to, how do you want to challenge yourself in 2019?
Well, I feel like the past...
In terms personally.
Personally. Well, the past 6 months have been a lot of work and a lot of transitioning into this new job and kind of thinking a lot about how I want to present myself in 2019 to the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm not sure. Wait, what was your question? I'm lost now.
My question was, how do you want to challenge yourself personally in 2019? Like, what is a personal goal you're setting for yourself?
I think I'm doing a lot of new things that I've never done before. Mm-hmm. A lot of those have to do with my career. Mm-hmm. And I think just remaining confident and of my wisdom and, you know, my hard work and, yeah.
We can often fill ourselves with doubt.
Yeah, I think that's it too. Self-doubt is not great. But I think I'm always working on just being the best version of myself. There's a bit of me that still, even though I've gone through a lot, doesn't feel like I've found my exact voice
mm-hmm.
yet. So that's something that I would really like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes being funny and being running a business and... You know, having all the interests that I'm in, or having all the things that I'm interested in.
I think that in order to, I think that like so much pressure is put on like finding your voice and like being authentically you. And like it's talked about in this way that almost like, I don't know, it's like the way that like falling in love is spoken about. You know, when people are like, when you fall in love, like...
You'll know.
Like, you'll just, like, be so, like, in it and, like, wrapped up and, like, blah, blah, blah. And I just don't think that either of those things are like that for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, personally, with the love example, the way that I've fallen in love has never been like it, how it is in the movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, the same way with, like, what... Because I've... Similarly, you know, about the voice thing, I think that like finding your voice, I think, is just deprogramming your brain of fear.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's
like, that's what I think that actually finding your voice is. Mm-hmm. Because I think we hinder ourselves or we, you know, acquiesce to other people or we, you know, we do. Things where we are more chameleon-like with who we are out of fear a lot of the time. Fear of letting someone down, fear of, you know, thinking that they think one thing of you and you're another, fear of letting yourself down, scaredness.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, fear, I think that if we can, like, get over the fear, then we achieve the voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think who you are to me, and I'm sure to Lo too, you're a very clear person to me. But maybe you just don't feel clear in yourself.
I think it's a lot with this transition into this new career.
Right, because you're doing a bunch of things you've never done before.
I also think a lot of my whole life, like my career has been my personality. And not that like this, and this career is not my personality, which is... I'm not saying that is a good or a bad thing, but I think like trying to find like just trying to figure out all of that is interesting to me.
Well, I mean, like, here's a different perspective. It might not be like your, you know, personality, like your jokes or like what you're writing, but the business is a deep reflection of everything that you've learned over the past couple of years, and you're, you know, putting all of that energy into one thing. And so, like, maybe you can think about it from that perspective, yeah. You know? And I yeah. feel like you have gotten way more skilled at doing that. You know what I mean?
That's also a skill that you just like hone in on perpetually through life.
100%. But it's a skill that like you have developed and that, you know, you're working on. We're all working on it in our own way.
Yeah.
But until you try, you don't know.
Right.
I think social media can cloud the judgment of that a lot.
Yes. I think social media can like propel your voice. Mm-hmm. And your vision of yourself, and it can also completely distort it.
Definitely.
And destroy it.
I felt that way a lot when I was writing notes to my selfie. I felt like I'd become this person that was always like making fun of herself. Like, oh, I couldn't get a date with this guy, or like, oh,
like too deprecating.
Yes, it was too. And then I started to think about that, like myself in that way. And I was like, is this how I want to present myself to the world? It's something interesting maybe you can talk about too, Greta, with comedy. It's like, you use so much of your personal life with it. And it's like, at what point does that start actually affecting your personal life the whole time?
Right.
Like, how do you handle that?
Well, this is about you.
She can answer that. She can answer on her episode.
No, I mean, you know, I freak out a lot of the time.
Yeah.
The older I get and the further along in my career I get and the older I get, the mm-hmm. more I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sharing too much of myself.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, like, I can't be the kind of person that I can't be the kind of person that makes a joke about cocaine. You know what I mean? Like, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, but in reality, I just, like, calm those thoughts because I'm, like, the person that I am is product of all of these experiences.
Yeah.
And these experiences are true to me. And I can only own the experiences in my life rather than like evade them. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think I try to deal with that, the distortion and like those thoughts of being like, well, if everything I'm saying and putting out into the universe is true for me to some capacity, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's when we do things that are like really out of character that are like, oh my God, what the fuck?
You know? That's very true.
And I think it's like about not doing those things. And I think for me too, it would be really out of character if I were to suddenly not share. How weird would that be? I've built a platform of me being a sharer and I share all of myself, which is kind of exhausting.
Yeah.
But like in my comedy especially, it's hard. It's so hard.
It's very identity hard to,
and also like
identity with work, with online, with who you really are.
Social media
lot.
Too. Now it's like, you know, if you're not sharing your whole fucking life on social media, like, does anyone care? Like, I don't really know. You know what I mean?
I don't really. No. At this point, like, right now,
I stopped sharing. My engagement's gone way down.
I don't share as much anymore since I've started this business. I don't have the time. I really don't have the time. I've really just focused on YZ, but I just don't really feel like sharing right now. And I think that's okay too.
That's
like,
fine.
I think it also, like, when people stop.
That's normal. That's like a true reflection of like what life on this earth is. We're not supposed to be on these like channels where we're all talking to each other all the time.
I also feel like people will say like, oh, I'm taking a break from social media. But it's like, you know, shouldn't have to feel like the need to say that. You should just do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm not really like sharing so much shit lately. And I don't think that I will probably for the next like 6 months or a year because I just like don't have time. And I really just want to focus on me and my business. But I don't feel the need to be like, I'm taking a break.
Well, I think people declare things so that they feel like accountable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like whenever you're with someone, I don't know. I used to always be like, I'm a vegetarian, so that when like chicken fingers would come around, I just like wouldn't eat them. You know what I'm saying? And I think that sometimes we vocalize things like that so that if someone sees you on social media, they'll be like, well, I thought you said you were taking a break. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't even think it's that. I mean, like, I think everybody who's on social media is like guilty of this. Like, it's totally self-serving. And so even if you're going to take a break, announcing that is still self-serving because you're going to get positive affirmation from that. And like, I'm not denying that, like, I don't feel that way. I post a picture and people are like, oh, you look so pretty. That makes me feel good.
Of course,
you know what
it
I
does.
Mean? So even just the post saying I'm going to take a break, like, makes you feel good.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so like,
because you still get the affirmation.
You still get the affirmation, you know?
Well, Julie, I think it's good that like, I think all of these things, I think all that we can try and do is like be more conscious and make more conscious decisions for ourselves that are ultimately going to like take us down the road that we want to be going down and like lead us to like a brighter future.
Yeah.
And I think that like taking a break from like over sharing is exhausting.
Yeah.
Sharing is fucking tiring.
I guess.
And sharing also becomes confusing because you're like, am I sharing this for myself or am I sharing this because I think I'm just supposed to be sharing something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or to brag or whatever the reason is. I think going back to like finding my voice, it's like I also feel like because I shared my whole life always and like all of my like deepest, darkest thoughts. Now I'm like, what do I even share? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how do I evolve into this? Like this new phase of my life, like what am I comfortable sharing now?
Yeah.
Like,
and like
that's
if I'm not this
that.
Deprecating person, are people still going to think that I'm funny?
No,
and
I mean, I've lost
like,
so many followers because I don't post as like funny of shit anymore.
But who cares?
I mean, I don't care, but I just like, I'm just answering that no, people aren't going to like it. But yeah, I think a lot of like finding my voice for me, because so much of it was online, is like still that, you know? And I think that like the next year will be really like telling to see like what I figure out.
What's like your priority right now?
My priority?
Yeah.
Happiness. Mm-hmm. That's always my priority.
Okay. What do you do to make that happen?
Exercise. Take baths. Hang out with my friends, I would say. Mm-hmm. And just try to like treat myself well.
Yeah.
Try not to be so hard on myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say that happiness is really important to me right now.
Yeah, I think that's really nice.
On that note, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. And we're back.
Jilly's episode.
Okay, now it's time for me to go and just start asking you really dumb questions.
Oh, great. Let's do it.
Jilly, if you could be one accessory, what would you be? And I want details.
An accessory?
Yeah, like not like... Not like
a like, purse?
Yeah, like a like purse, shoes, jewelry, a hat. I'll even throw in like a fur coat as an accessory.
I'd be a pair of Nikes.
Okay. Mm. What color? What kind? What style?
Well, there's these new ones I really want.
Que color dime.
Okay.
By it's a collab.
Is it an off-white collab?
No, it's a collab with this girl on Instagram who I really like.
Uh-huh.
And her name is Alili May.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Storyworth. For those of you guys that don't know what Storyworth is, it is the most amazing way to create a generational keepsake of stories for your family. It's truly amazing. So here's basically how it works. Storyworth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts and questions you never thought to ask. At the end of the year, they'll get their stories bound in a beautiful hardcover book, strengthen your family bonds, and get to know your loved one in a whole new way. Here's how it works. You purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week, Storyworth sends them an email with questions about their life. They simply reply to this email with their story or can record it over the phone by calling the Storyworth number. All stories are private and only shared with the family that you choose. Then, after a year, their stories will be bound into a beautiful keepsake book. Isn't that amazing? I've decided that this year I want to do it with my sister because my sister and I talk constantly and we share stories constantly, but I forget them all the time. And I get so frustrated when I can't remember something amazing she told me or really funny that she told me. So I'm really excited to do it with her this year and see what we get after a year of back and forth. And I just think it's a great way to keep something that you can then share with your kids and your grandchildren. And it's just an amazing way to stay in touch. And I just think it's such an incredibly touching gift. And it's a gift that you also get to be a part of, which is really cool. It's basically like a back and forth recorded story conversation. And you get to learn about your relatives and, you know, ask them questions that you never thought to ask them before and preserve your memories. So it's amazing. And all of you guys should try it because I think you'll love it. Think about someone in your family that's you want to give a StoryWorth gift to. So for $20 off, visit StoryWorth.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, when you subscribe. That is $20 off by visiting StoryWorth.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N, when you subscribe. Lady Lovin is brought to you by Squarespace. You guys know we love Squarespace because it's really the best place to build your own website because it's so easy and so beautiful and amazing. If you guys don't know what's up with Squarespace, basically it's the place where you can turn your cool idea into a brand new website. You can showcase your work, you can blog or publish content, you can sell products and services of all kinds. It's really amazing. If you have a business that you want to promote, it's there for you. If you have an event that you want to promote, it's there for you. You can truly do everything on Squarespace. They offer beautiful templates created by world-class designers. They have everything optimized for mobile right out of the box, so you don't need to worry about whether or not your website will be beautiful on a phone or an iPad, because guess what? It will be. Also, our favorite thing is the 24/7 award-winning customer support. So if you are on the website and you're trying to build your website and you don't know what to do and you're getting confused and it's at 4 a.m. and you want it to be done in the morning, guess what? Someone is there to help you. You can make it yourself. I say this all the time, but I am completely technologically inept and I can make a website on Squarespace. So that means you can make a website on Squarespace. So go to squarespace.com/lovin for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code LOVIN to save 10% off of your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/lovin for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code LOVIN to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
And she is coming out with a pair of shoes. And they are the, I don't know how to find them.
Are these them?
Yeah, Greta's.
They're like Nike Dunks.
They're like Jumpman Nikes.
They're really cool. They're like suede, multicolor. We're dealing with a maroon, a royal blue, a powder blue, a tan, a coral red, and then like a royal purple.
And then also like a little pink.
They're called, wait, oh wow, whoa,
cool. There's a lot of text.
Damn. She also did a collaboration with Maya Moore, who's a basketball player.
So that's what I would want to be, is those shoes that are coming out on the 22nd of December.
Yeah, they're really cool. Oh my God. Also, they have like a fur front cover thing.
And I would do light blue laces. I'm really into, I love Nike.
Yeah, Nike makes great stuff.
I know you guys aren't asking, but my favorite book is Shoe Dog, which is the
story. How
did you
know that we weren't going to ask that?
Just guessing. And it is the story of Phil Knight, the guy who created Nike. It's the best book. I love it.
Alexia Alkheim likes that book.
So good.
It's a great book.
Jill, if you could have a different first name, what would it be?
Aaliyah.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, I like that name.
If you could live anywhere in the world and have... If you could live anywhere in the world and do like a fantastical dream job, what would it be?
It'd still be New York, but it would be an apartment that I don't live in right now.
But what would your dream job be? I'm saying like dream job. Like I would be making like incredible pastries and like whatever. Like a job that you would never really have.
I would say this job I'm doing, YZ.
Okay.
Okay, girl.
Okay, go off.
I'd pick something way easier if it was me.
I would just... What would you pick?
No, I'm excited.
I love Bob's name chooser for beauty products.
I know.
That's a crazy job.
Oh, you would
job.
Love to name beauty products?
Yeah.
I would love to be a really successful large format painter.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
You know?
I guess if I couldn't do this, what I'm doing right now, I would be the TV character, Mrs. Maisel.
Okay.
All right.
That is my favorite TV show. You guys aren't asking either.
No, we talked about that last episode.
I'm obsessed with that TV show and I love the actress.
Julie, you know, on your episode, you are allowed to offer up your own thoughts, suggestions, and questions for yourself. If we're not doing a good job of really getting to the point.
What is a fear that you've overcome over the past 3 years?
Being alone.
Ooh, this is profound.
Yeah.
I love that.
Now we're getting somewhere.
If you were a car, what kind of car would you be? Don't say Tesla.
A light pink Aston Martin.
Okay, ooh, Paris.
We see you.
I love
actually,
that.
Actually, Kim.
Kim has that?
She put a photo of one of them once.
Oh my goodness. Okay, Kim. If what Kardashian would you be?
Kim. I or like Kylie. That.
I'd be Kendall.
I think I might be Kylie, actually.
I think I ultimately would be Chloe. And like that says just a lot about my personality. I'd either be Chloe or I'd be like Penelope Disick.
Oh, the kid. Oh, the little one?
Yeah. Just like casually in designer. And just like
did my you see dad little Mason's
crazy.
Birthday?
No.
Oh my God. He's 9.
You guys, I can't watch that show.
I don't watch it. I just saw it on the fucking internet.
Big fan over
here. You love it.
I do. I want to see what they're wearing. I want to see what they're doing. I want to see what salad they're eating on their private planes.
What are they always eating? Like some chopped salad. And their lips are so big that watching them go over the fork is like crazy.
You know, those reality shows are funny because I feel like a lot of the content they get is over food. So you'll watch them eat like 10 meals in an hour and then you're like, I'm hungry.
I know.
That's funny.
What, if you could be any musician, what would you be?
Oh.
Aaliyah?
No.
Bob Dylan?
This is difficult for me because, you know, I love music and...
If you had to listen to one artist for the rest of your life, who would it be?
I couldn't do that.
Fine, you can choose 3.
I couldn't do that either.
5.
Okay, just one favorite.
Well, I would say that I've always loved Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Because I like his story.
But you can't listen to Bob Dylan 24/7.
I know. This is the issue. I also love like R&B and rap and like sexy music.
Give me an artist.
Like I love...
Like Sade?
I can't pronounce a lot of their names because I'm horrible at this. You guys know I can't pronounce anyone's name. So I really don't want to butcher any of their names. So I'll just show
you. Like an Erykah Badu situation?
I'll show you who my favorite artists are on my most recent playlist. Would you like to see that?
Yeah. Why don't you make these share? Like, can
I like
people,
Travis Scott. I like this guy Bridge. I like LMA. I like...
Can Lady Lovin' listeners follow your playlist?
Of course. Let I like this, this. This new girl, 070 Shake. I like Young M.A. I like Miguel.
Did you see Miguel's wedding?
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Yeah. I was kind of upset about it.
It was crazy.
I was like, no. It's like, damn, I can't marry Miguel now.
Miguel's hot. One time I was at the club with Miguel.
Get it, girl.
The same night I was at the club with Usher. At the club with Miguel.
Well, doesn't Usher have a song about the club?
Yeah.
What's it called?
We're gonna make love in this club.
Yeah. Did you sing that?
No.
To Usher?
But I do love that song.
If I ran into Usher in a club, I would sing that for sure.
Who is your ultimate? Oh my God, I asked Lo this. Who's your ultimate Hollywood crush?
My ultimate?
Like, who would you get? Who would, if they were like, I'm getting you pregnant tonight.
And they weren't married?
No, they're like, yeah, in this fantasy land, they're not married.
Okay, because I can never break up a marriage.
I love that that's your concern about this fantasy. I'm like, yeah, anyone could get you pregnant. They're like, but he's single.
I don't like that.
No cheaters.
Nathan Followell.
Really?
The drummer of Kings
from
of Leon.
From Kings of Leon? Yeah. Wow.
Doesn't that say a lot? It's my type.
I mean, Jared is the like famously hot one. Right? His brother?
I'd say the singer, Caleb.
Are they all related? They're like cousins. Nathan.
Matthew's the cousin, and the other three are brothers.
Wait, actually kind of shocked that you told me Nathan Followell is your dream person to get you pregnant.
I would live on a farm with him in Nashville 100%.
Oh my God. You guys need to look him up. He's hot,
so cute.
But like, Jilly, you love, no. You do have a type. You love an alternative guy.
Yeah, I do.
Like, in your heart of hearts,
love an alternative guy.
You love,
although the last guy I dated was very basic.
Yes, but
not in a rude way.
Heart of hearts,
I love an alternative man.
You love an alternative guy.
I know. Nick Chimay, our best friend, who sets us up with everyone, wanted to introduce me to this artist, and I was like, okay.
Are you going to meet him?
I'd like to.
Well, there you go.
I've always been a fan of Nathan Followell.
I mean, he's cute. It's
really
just like,
cute. I'm blushing.
I mean, he would fuck you too. Like, look at his wife. Not dissimilar.
I mean, they're married. They have 2 cute kids. Can't even think about it.
This is fantasy. I mean, Lo would fuck The Rock, which literally explained her entire romance psychology.
Yeah, just that. True. Does Nathan Folwell explain mine?
It does explain a lot because honestly, I do like it's guys this that outfit. Are... It's this outfit that explains a lot to me.
I do like guys that are, he has got a passion and a drive, you know, and it's very like, specific. I do like men with specific careers.
This guy, I'm staring at this photo of him. He's in a black beanie. His hair is right above his breasts.
I've never dated a man who wears a beanie.
He doesn't have breasts. He has pecs. You've never dated a man that wears a beanie?
No.
Oh my God. That's the one thing that I hate about LA. It's the land of men in beanies.
A lot of beanies.
A lot of beanies.
I don't think I've seen a beanie this winter.
I was wearing one earlier.
I have seen a lot of beanies.
Maybe I just haven't been looking up for my phone.
Wow.
I was at Mission Chinese last week and every hipster there was wearing a beanie.
Lo, do you have any other questions to ask Jilly?
I just would like to say...
Do you have any thoughts?
Lo and I have known each other since we were 8. So she's seen it all and I've seen it all.
Yeah, I just am really happy that the three of us have been able to have this experience together. And Jilly and I have this lifelong friendship, you know, that we have maintained through, you know, all of these ups and downs. Like Jilly and I like rarely fight. We're like sisters and you know, it's just fun to have this experience, but like look back on it and it's very like precious in my heart. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Same. I'm very sad.
I don't have
ending.
Any more questions. I just wanted to say that.
That you said hiatus, Jilly.
Hiatus. It is a hiatus. It's coming back. I need it in my life more than the listeners need it.
What did I want to ask you? What's your favorite Lady Lovin' episode?
Oh yeah.
Ooh. That we've ever done.
What is my favorite Lady Lovin' episode? I'd say our live shows. I love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the live shows are great.
What is something you've learned from Lady Lovin'?
I think that Lady Lovin' made me feel less alone. Because all the emails that everyone sent in, like I'm going through this, makes me realize that we all are going through the same things and a lot of people don't talk about them. So it's important to find people that you can talk to. I've always been really lucky and had great friends, but I know a lot of people don't have that. So I don't know. I think just like being able to connect with our listeners mm-hmm. has been amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so too.
Who's your lady loving?
You guys, 100%.
Is there anything you want to say that you haven't been able to say?
I don't think so. I feel like I've said it all.
You guys,
I've said it all minus names. Names of the men I've dated.
If you're a Hendrix head and you can't get enough, you guys, okay, everyone's like freaking out because our podcast is going on a little breaky.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know that we like keep on saying this, but we do plan on figuring out a way, touching base.
Summer 2019.
You know, we'll just have like a casual little catch up.
Yeah.
But for those of you that
or like,
are like
a season, yeah, you know what I mean? That's like a couple episodes.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
For those of you that are like, oh my God, it's like Monday. How am I going to get through my week without listening to you guys talk to me? Which I understand. Don't worry, because Jilly has another podcast that's out every Wednesday called As Seen Online with Jilly Hendrix mm-hmm. that you can like go and subscribe to. They're really fun episodes. They're not as long as ours. So that means you can catch up quickly and have a little kiss of Jilly.
And Lo and Greta will come on.
For sure.
I've been on.
And
you'll come back.
I will.
Another idea is now Lady Lovin's a classic and you just start over again from episode
yeah.
one.
Yeah. But then if you start over again from episode one, by the time you are done with all of our episodes, we probably will have come out with a new episode.
True. Probably.
Yeah.
True that.
Yeah.
Just start over and then it's like rewatching The Holiday.
Yeah.
We're friends.
Yeah.
Do
over
it.
Over and over again.
Also, you can follow Jilly online.
Yeah, I won't be posting as much, but I'll be there in spirit. I'll be actively looking.
You can send her DMs.
Yeah, I do respond to DMs, actually.
And Jilly, do you have any final words that you'd like to say? Any final pieces of advice?
I would say that I think that people don't realize how strong they are. And I feel like we get so many emails from women going through a lot of heartbreaking situations. So just remember that you are strong and you are going to get through it. It's happening to you for a reason. And just keep going. Don't stop. Keep going.
Love that.
Just do it.
Don't stop believing.
No, don't stop. Keep going. I'd say.
Okay. Great. I love that. Love you, Jilly.
Love you, Jilly.
XO.
XOXO. Jelly.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.